Thank you very much. So thank you all for joining this call, which is taking place on the 28th of April 2015 at 1700 hours UTC. The purpose of the call is to bring members of the CCTLD community up to speed with respect to the work of the cross-community working group, which is tasked with developing a stewardship transition proposal for the IANA functions contract. This call is open to all CCTLD managers. It's not a prerequisite to be a member of the CCNSO. And what I would suggest is I give the presentation, which should take about 25, maybe 30 minutes, and then we have a question and answer session at the end. The main goal of the presentation is really to invite all CCTLD registry managers to comment on the proposal, and the five CC members that are on the CWG as representatives of the CC community will take those on board and try and feed any comments, any concerns that you have into the process as we seek to fine-tune this particular proposal. So why is it important to the CCTLD community? It is very important in that the proposal, historically, NTIA has had a role in the stewardship as an independent party, independent of ICANN, and also has had a role in making sure that the process that has been declared to the global community is followed. And the CWG group are seeking to put forward a consolidated transition proposal which comprises of the three elements of the IANA functions contract. We obviously are interested in the naming part, but there is also the protocols, IETF section that IANA does, and there is the RAR part that also is involved in this whole transition process. So there are three proposals being drafted by the relevant communities, and they will be consolidated, merged into one document, and then submitted to NTIA for their consideration. So the proposal document that has been outlined and is available for you to comment on, and I want to highlight the importance of your reading this document, is to really help CC managers understand what changes are likely to happen post-transition. In other words, when NTIA has stepped back from its oversight role that it is doing so far. So moving on to the next slide, slide page 3. To date, the timelines, if we move on, Bart, goals and scope, next slide.
Oh, right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to move on to the other slide?
Slide 3.
Yeah, it's, that's on.
Right, slide 4 then.
Okay.
Right, so the timeline, the progress to date, this has been ongoing since October last year. You may remember we had a proposal that we solicited comments in December, and thank you all CC managers that participate in that. We then reviewed those comments, and we've come up with a revised version, a more simplified version, which is certainly worthy of your consideration with regard to trying to move this forward. It is not perfect, but it is, I hope, pretty close, and I hope meets with your considered approval, albeit does need some fine-tuning. Next slide, please. The way we have been working, this is slide 4, Bart. The way we have been working recently is in design teams, where each of the design team have been focused on a particular topic, and the design team has not necessarily had a representative of the CC community within it, but the 5 CC members have been involved in the majority of the calls of the CWG. So it is helpful if you have a particular interest in one of the issues, review the relevant appendix of the document to make sure it meets your concerns. And at the end of this presentation, I'm going to home in on specific points that are of real interest to the CC community. We had a meeting in Istanbul quite recently where a number of design teams made their presentations. Some were brought to conclusion, and we are now in the public consultation phase. It's going to span for a total of 28 days. We're a few days in now, so I do urge you to submit your comments as quickly and efficiently as possible. Next slide, please. So what is going to happen? What is the linkage between two core groups? You may have heard of the accountability group that is looking specifically into ICANN accountability. Our group, the CWG Stewardship Group, is just looking into the IANA operations, the IANA functions contract per se, and there's obviously linkage between making sure that the IANA staff who are employed by ICANN have accountability to the community they serve, and their employers, namely the board, ICANN corporate, also have accountability to us, the community they serve. And so there is overlap between the work of the accountability group holding ICANN, the corporate entity, to account, and the work of the stewardship transition body of which this proposal specifically relates. It is intended that once the accountability group has concluded its work, that the CWG will review to make sure the accountability aspects that the CWG has requested do actually meet their concerns. The accountability group has been slower to start, was a little later starting, and at the moment it's too early in their process to see that there is proper accountability for the CCTLD community with respect, or with the naming community per se, more generally, but CCTLDs in particular, with regard to making sure that they get the performance that they need. So I want to highlight there are two groups, very similar names. CCWG is the accountability group, and that is ongoing work at the moment. The CWG, just one C, is the stewardship group, and that refers to the proposal that is open for public comment now. The two groups do not have the same timeline. Although once the accountability group has concluded, it is intended that the CWG makes sure that the accountability elements that it has asked for have been adequately addressed. Next slide, please. So let's look in a little more detail at the specifics. And there is a diagram coming up, but I'll just talk around the core issues. Many of us in the CC community have always wanted to know in more detail the budget that ICANN has, specifically as it relates to the naming element. And it is proposed that there will be effectively functional separation and operational separation, which means we will have the ability to see as a community the expenditure of IANA, and it is hoped with a further breakdown of the expenditure relating to the naming component. The other issue that will be covered will be, as already touched on, is the accountability side. Because it is proposed that there will be an affiliated company constituted from within ICANN, as it were, a solid firewall between ICANN corporate and the IANA functions entity, it will be possible to hold the IANA operator to account. The next issue is review and redress. As we all know, in this technology world, technical standards change, our needs change as a community, and it is proposed that there is periodical review of the IANA functions, and that should happen, we are suggesting in the proposal, every 5 years. What we're seeking to do is make sure that all mechanisms are safeguarded within ICANN bylaws. So not only are we proposing that there is an affiliated company, a subsidiary company within ICANN, but we're also trying to ensure that the integrity of the affiliated company and the independence of that company is maintained. We also have something known as a Customer Standing Committee, and the Customer Standing Committee will monitor the operational performance of the IANA functions operator as it relates to specific service level expectation documents. The service level expectation is called similar to an agreement, but because many CCs do not have formal agreements with ICANN, then the issue is we call it a service level expectation that IANA should live up to. What we have done as a group, we have, as I said, a design team. The design team has analyzed the performance of IANA in the past, what it is currently delivering to our community, and to be candid, it is relatively efficient. We have documented the work and the performance of the IANA, and that is constituting the service level expectation agreement, so capturing the status quo of today. The final thing with regard to the linkage coordination is the appeals mechanism. Many of you might be aware that we had a survey as part of this process. I'd like to thank those of you that participated in the survey, but the level of participation from the CC community was quite poor. And so CWG did not feel comfortable in recommending an appeals process. And so what has happened is that task has really been handed back to the community to develop. So the CCWG, the accountability unit, felt it should not develop an appeals mechanism relating to the delegation and redelegation of CCTLDs. They felt uncomfortable doing that. That's the accountability arm. And the CWG, the stewardship arm, didn't have sufficient input from the community, CC community, to feel comfortable taking something forward. So I think it's really back to our community if an appeals mechanism is necessary. Many of us feel that, such things should be handled within country, within the jurisdiction in which the registry is incorporated. And so that issue is probably best handled as a local matter. Next slide, please. Right, so this slide really highlights how the various components, the IANA functional review team, the customer standing committee, the new entity, the affiliated company called the post-transition IANA, the PTI, how they all interact with us, the customers. And so if I may, I would like to just home in on the customers who are at the bottom of the chart there in the purple color. Normal operation, one doesn't anticipate any problems. ICANN IANA have delivered a fairly robust and reliable service in recent years, which is welcome. But if there are problems, it is proposed that the Customer Standing Committee is there as a backstop to liaison with the IANA staff. So there is an escalation process, which I will again come to at the end of the presentation, but the first port of call should always be IANA staff to seek resolution of any particular issue. Failing that, one can refer to the Customer Standing Committee, as they will be monitoring the performance of the PTI, this new entity, anyway. They also have a means of interacting with the IANA staff and also the board, the new dedicated independent board of the post-transition IANA. As mentioned, it is proposed that there'll be an IANA functions review body, and this is comprised of representatives of the multi-stakeholder community. And I ought to have highlighted, actually, the CSC, it is proposed in the Customer Standing Committee, it is proposed that it's just comprised of, customers, two CCTLD representatives, two GTLD representatives, and liaisons. In the IANA functions review body, that is again comprised of CCTLD representatives, one of whom will come from the CCNSO, the other not from the CCNSO, but also members of the multi-stakeholder community and, of course, the GTLD community, who are part of the review team. The independent or post-transition IANA body obtained its mandate from the board of ICANN. So as I highlighted earlier, it's an affiliated subsidiary company wholly owned by ICANN, but has the ability, in the event of a trigger, a fundamental breakdown, or indeed ICANN saying it no longer wishes to perform the IANA contract, of being separated out. So it's a separated legal entity, comes into being by virtue of a contract between ICANN and its subsidiary body. The object is to try and keep the status quo as robust as possible, bearing in mind we don't want to go off and start creating new independent bodies unaffiliated to ICANN, because then you have the same accountability issues that ICANN is currently going through and currently learning about. So that's the internal accountability model. One of the issues that has been highlighted to me is the makeup of the board. My understanding is that the board is independent, not selected by the ICANN board, so independent of effectively ICANN capture, but selected by the various supporting organizations. That was my understanding. I had a conversation with someone quite recently And they actually had the different view, namely that ICANN board appointed the board members, some of whom could actually be IANA staff. So that is one area that does need to be clarified if the post-transition IANA is going to be empowered by ICANN but independent from ICANN, so there is an accountability chain there. Next slide, please. So this really highlights the timeline, and I apologize, it is quite a tight timeline for comments to be received. The date in question is now the 20th of May, which is the closing date for comments. What will happen following the closing on the 20th of May for comments that you are warmly invited to submit is the community of the CWG will review the comments submitted, potentially revise the proposal in light of the comments submitted, and we have something known as a high-intensity weekend. That is where we have unfortunately been subject to working in two-hour increments. We have three sessions per day for 2 hours, bringing a total of 6 hours, and we do sort of two consecutive days to try and thrash out any issues. Then we propose to publish that once again to the community, but deliver it to the supporting organizations for their respective communities to endorse, or if in the CCTLD community, I believe it's the Names Council, the CCNSO Council that will endorse it once all of the CWG members have also ratified it. And then we propose to submit the three proposals, that is from the naming community, from the RARs, and from the protocols IETF, IAB, to the ICG, who will review it. If there are deemed to be incompatibilities, they will be sent back to the respective communities to resolve the incompatibilities. But assuming that there is a single transition proposal that works as considered by the ICG, it will then go to the NTIA for their review. We're under a fairly tight timeline. There is an option to extend the current contract, which expires at the end of September this year. It can be extended in either months or annually. But it would be quite good if we could try and bring a valid transition proposal forward as quickly as possible. So next I would like to go and focus on matters relating specifically to CCTLDs. And this area I propose will cover three areas: the authorization function, the service level expectations for CCTLDs, and the relevancy of remedial and escalation processes. Next slide, please, Bob. So the current situation is, as we all know, the CCTLD registry manager submits a request to IANA for a specific action. IANA presents that in a specific format for NTIA approval. NTIA approval is really that the process has been followed and there has not been manipulation by a party with respect to the changes. And then it goes off to the root zone maintainer if it's a name server change or a DS record update. If it's a who is update, a contact change, that doesn't involve the root zone maintainer, but is done internally to ICANN. But the update still has approval. The root zone maintainer is currently VeriSign. The VeriSign contract, or I should be precise, it's a cooperative agreement with NTIA, is going to remain. So at the moment, for the time being, all we are looking at is the authorization function that NTIA currently performs. Next slide, please. So without NTIA checking that the process has been followed, otherwise known as the authorization process, everything should be significantly more streamlined. And just, I know my next slide is going to be talking about service level expectations. You will see we, by removing NTIA, the process should be faster. But as part of this transition, what we have done is just captured the activity of today and the times taken of today rather than a faster process, which obviously, if you haven't got NTIA involved, should be faster anyway. But we're seeking not to make that change at this point. That is something for later development. So let's move on to service level expectations. This, as I've mentioned, is a relatively standard process within the industry that we work in. It defines a process. It defines a time within which the process should be undertaken. And it identifies a parameter under which there is a margin of error. So some people don't have to necessarily adhere to 100% of the SLE. So there's a margin of error, and then there's an escalation or a penalty path. The SLE in the naming community is applicable to all TLDs, whether they're GTLDs or CCTLDs, and we all share the same complaint mechanism. Obviously, there are soon to be about 2,000 new TLDs, so it's important that the process of interacting with IANA is as efficient as possible, is as automated as possible, and we haven't advocated at this juncture an API for interfacing with IANA. We're proposing just to keep the same process that we have today, but we don't wish to have IANA interfering or slowing down the process. The role of the customer standing committee is very much to receive the reports based on IANA's performance and to resolve any issues around that performance as it specifically relates to the service level expectation. If there are some commonalities of problems, in other words, systemic issues, the customer standing committee has the ability to take a holistic view of how things are working and work with IANA to seek a change, or subsequently to work with the IANA functions review team at the appropriate juncture. There needs to be mechanisms for changing in IANA services. We're all familiar with DNSSEC. There are a number of other little issues coming through. The WHOIS protocol is likely to change. And so, as we all know, it's an evolving mechanism, which means the SLE is likely to evolve in itself as service improves. The next issue relates, as is relevant to CCTLDs, is the escalation process. So today, any individual has the right to complain about the operation of IANA functions, and that is normally done directly complaining with the IANA staff, and then there are escalation processes via the chief executive officer, and failing that, it goes to NTIA. But obviously Post, who historically, incidentally, has basically not got involved. They have encouraged IANA to address the issue as efficiently as possible. Without the NTIA involvement, the proposal for post-transition is, once again, each individual CCTLD will have the right to raise an issue with IANA staff, and there are escalation steps prescribed escalation steps, which should help alleviate and also escalate to the appropriate party the issue. The ability to appeal a particular decision has not been addressed yet. Someone raised this again with me in recent days. If you have an issue that you want to have an independent party consider in an expedient way within a matter of days, then it might be necessary to build that in. At the moment, I don't think the proposal has that, and if members of the CC community think that important to have an escalation path to an independent party, that would still need to be addressed, but your comments would need to reflect it. The actual structure of the escalation path and what remedies are available are described on page 62 of the proposal. So in terms of what happens today and what will happen post-transition, there is already, as we are aware within our community, a root zone emergency process. That remains in place, and the time period of expectation of getting the matter resolved in an emergency situation within 4 hours remains exactly the same. The customer service complaints resolution process, this is a new, I hope, enhanced service. As I said, the customer service CSC, or customer standing body, is there, which is two CC representatives, two GTLD representatives in liaison. And it's there really to try and assist registry operators get swift resolution of their problem. And then if there is further problem management escalation process, this again is a new process for persistent performance issues. As I highlighted, if there's a systemic problem associated with IANA's services. Within the document, within the proposal, annexes J, K, and L, pages 68, 69, and 72 of the proposal, would be well worth a read. So that is the end of the presentation per se. And now I would just like to open the floor to any questions of clarification that anyone may have. Again, it's quite a heavy document. We've tried to draft it in a way that it's relatively easy to read, but more accurately, we've done it in sections. So if there's a specific section that is of interest, we invite your comments on that specific section. This is a proposal. It's not written in stone, and we do welcome your comments so that we can make sure that the proposal addresses your needs. So the floor is open. The way Adobe works, if you're not familiar with it, on the top of the screen there's someone with a little hand up. You click on that button, it says raise your hand. That means that I can see your question. Alternatively, or see what you wish to ask a question, alternatively you can write in the chat what your question is. And I see Stephen has written a question. Can you elaborate on what the proposed mechanisms are that would actually affect a split between the PTI and ICANN itself, especially if it is in the case the ICANN board would appoint the PTI board? So that's a good question, Stephen. I have to say, I have only recently learnt that the ICANN board would be appointing the PTI board. My understanding was that the PTI board was independent of the ICANN board and was comprised of people that were familiar with the operation of IANA and were technically competent registry parties. What would trigger it? there are a number of different issues. The actual trigger mechanisms, I don't think, have been defined, but I would invite you to submit your comment in writing, or submit your question in writing. There could be a situation where I can elect not to deliver the IANA service, in which case it could be that the affiliate is split off. And let's see what Stefan smaller. Yeah, so I think from Stefan's point that's just been submitted, the actual trigger points which would cause a separation have not been defined. And maybe one of your comments could be, we should elaborate. The intent of separability is really to facilitate a better understanding of budget, a better understanding of accountability to the community, rather than actually see a split in service. Stephen, again, I'll just read the comment for the benefit of the recording. Having the ICANN board appoint the PTI board is a showstopper for me. I suspect that this will be the case for many CC managers as well. And as I would just like to echo what Stefan has just put in. Who appoints the board has not been decided yet. What I would emphasize, Stephen, is do please write in to express your concern. It's certainly a new issue as far as I was aware, but this, as I want to emphasize, is a proposal, and so your comments are welcome, and if we have written submissions through the comment process, it does help your five CWG representatives to air your concern. I would like to open the floor for any other questions. Alan, please.
Thank you, Paul. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Firstly, thank you for an excellent presentation. I think it was very clear. I appreciate that. I wonder if I could just drill down a bit on Stephen's comment about having ICANN board appoint the PTI, about that being the showstopper. I think you indicated earlier that having new organizations would be independent of ICANN. New organizations could create issues around accountability. Do you feel that having the board of PTI appointed by other than ICANN could create those accountability issues?
So my understanding was, and I have to say, as Stefan has highlighted, the actual process for selecting the PTI board members has not been defined. But my understanding was that it was the supporting organizations that effectively appointed the PTI board, rather than ICANN board appointing the board members of the PTI. Provided the accountability mechanism is in place for the ICANN structure, I personally don't see a problem, but I don't think as a view has been expressed as to how the board members would be elected or selected, and I again would solicit comments from the community as how best to select or elect those bodies, those individuals. So the floor is open. Please write in the chat or raise a hand should you wish to ask a specific question. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you, Paul. Just one other small point. When you were going through the presentation and you were talking about the escalation process for a customer complaint, I believe you may have suggested that there is no appeal mechanism for dealing with handling customer complaints. I would point out that page 67 of the document suggests that if a customer complaint remains outstanding, that customer would have the right to use the so-called SLE that there's an existing appeal mechanism within ICANN. Yes, the complaining direct customer may initiate an independent review process if the issue is not addressed. So at least this draft does recognize that there is that mechanism, and it's my understanding that the accountability panel is looking at possible reforms to that independent review process. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Any other questions, please? So again, just for the benefit of those that don't have access to the Adobe Room, Martin Simons basically said the main reason to have the ICANN board select the PTI board is to avoid more accountability layers. And Demi has agreed, as has Alan, incidentally. So, that's going to be an interesting thing. Carolina, please.
Hi. Hi, Paul, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. I just have an additional question with respect to CCTLD delegation and redelegation procedures. The proposal status will not be addressed in this current document, in the current proposal. But how is this going to be effectively addressed if there is an issue of a CCTLD redelegation, for example, in the next year and a half? Will CCTLDs have the same use the same mechanisms they have been using up to now? I'm very much aware that CCTLDs may differ in their contractual relationship with ICANN as well. Thank you. I would appreciate your comments regarding this particular item. Thank you.
So thank you for the question. The issue of delegation and redelegation was not considered part of this transition initiative, in that it is really outside of our work in terms of inviting NTIA to place the stewardship role within the community. Today, NTIA doesn't actually, is not involved in delegation and redelegation, and so the CWG felt that delegation, redelegation of CCTLDs was out of scope. So I'm sorry I can't give you any more information, but basically wasn't within our remit, and so we didn't go there. So Stephen has asked a question. How do we avoid having a reprise of the situation we experienced in 2002 when ICANN, acting through IANA, attempted to extort contracts out of CCTLD managers by refusing to make routine and, in some instances, emergency route zone modifications unless the CCTLD entered into contractual relationships with ICANN? And thank you, Carolina, for your confirmation. Once again, those of us who've been in this industry for a while, that was a big issue in 2002, and one of the things NTIA did as an effective steward is try and remove any opportunity for IANA to extort try and manipulate their position. What is proposed in this mechanism are effectively independent bodies. The CSC are customers. CSC meaning Customer Standing Committee. The review team are customers. If those two bodies were to highlight an issue, that could be something that may highlight IANA ICANN's manipulation of their contract. And it may trigger a separation between ICANN-IANA delivering the IANA service. The other two groups are very keen to have various triggers for separating out away from ICANN-IANA staff and actually doing it themselves. The CC and GTLD community are somewhat harder. The GTLDs obviously have contracts with ICANN. Many CCs do not. I would hope that by having the independent board, which would be my hope, but the independent board, the independent CSC, and the effectively independent review team, the situations that occurred in 2002 would not repeat themselves. I hope that answers the question. Any other questions, please? Anyone? Have a few more minutes left on the call. Alan.
Well, Paul, it's Alan here for the record. I just, in answer to Stephen's question, I think one of the objectives in creating this PTI, the separation of IANA operations from ICANN itself, is to force a greater separation between policy and operations. Hopefully that separation, which would lead to a bit more formality in the relationship, that if ICANN wanted to try and do something again like they did in 2002, I think they would be forced to have a more public debate on that. And IANA would be, I think, to a greater extent insulated, I'm not going to say completely, but a greater extent insulated from ICANN than they may have been in the past. Anyway, that's my take on that. Thank you.
Any other questions, please? We're coming towards the top of the hour. Okay, hang on, Stephen's just come in. So if anyone does have a question, please place it in the chat or raise your hand. So I'm just going to read Stephen's question again for those that are not in the Adobe. Lastly, did the working group consider the work of the framework of interpretations, the work that was undertaken effectively by the CCTLD community? I note that the working group continues to use obsolete terminology with regard to the mechanisms that IANA performs with respect to the CCTLD. Delegation, transfers, and revocation. Redelegation is an obsolete term. So thank you, Stephen, for that point. The proposal eventually is that we try and accurately reflect the terminology that is in use today. And one of the things that we can ask staff to do is certainly to review the final proposal to make sure that the correct terminology is indeed in use. So thank you, Stephen, for that question, and we'll certainly take that one on board. Seeing any more questions? Okay, so I'll just leave the floor open for a few more minutes. Any questions, please raise your hand or put them in the chat. As Bart mentioned, this recording will be available on the internet tomorrow. You are warmly invited to submit any comments, suggestions, improvements to the proposal that you may have, any concerns. The members of the CWG who represent the CCTLD community really do welcome your comments, because it helps us try and formulate a proposal that best meets your needs. So unless I see any additional questions, which I don't, I think I would like to thank you all for participating in this call. There will be another call tomorrow at 6 a.m.
UTC.
6 a.m. UTC, if you would like to hear Stefan Johnson give an overview. It should be very similar to this one. We're using the same material, but there may be some questions you think of in the intervening period that may be of interest. So thank you all very much, and I wish you a very good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and thank you for participating. Thanks.